and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. This is the remake edition. We all know horror remakes. They're not unusual to the community. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. This show might be shit, but we'll find out. We're trying to do a new thing here on the Cake Wolf's Happy Hour, switching it up. We're going to be keeping things the same somewhat, and somewhat we're going to be changing it. So let's dig right in, see how we do. Yeah.
This description is so vague and mysterious.
Ooh, vague and mysterious, like I try to be in bed. So, I am joined with Cake Bitch.
Hi.
I am Cake Wolf. As always, we will be building a cake today for the icing of the cake, which is the start of the podcast. Just a little bit of what we've been doing in horror lately and getting to know one another. I guess we can't get to know you listeners because you can't talk back to us.
Well, they can write in, though.
Mm-hmm.
So help us open our relationship to you.
Yes, we would love it. I'm going to start posting what movies we will be covering on Twitter and Facebook. You can contact us on there just by posting in the comments, leaving us some questions to cover on the show. Or if you really want to go out of your way and email us, you can email us at king@cakewolf. Sorry, that's the old one. I always give the old one. Jeez. kingcakewolf@gmail.com. That's the
one. Do we still have access to the old one, at least?
I don't know what the password is for the old one.
Yeah. What if people have been writing in this whole time and we just can't get to it?
I always correct myself. yes. kingcakewolf@gmail.com.
Yes.
So that's the icing of the cake, where we just kind of talk about what we've been doing lately. The filling of the cake is where we're going to be getting into a little bit of a horror game show. And today we were going to be covering a special movie for you guys. And then we're going to be moving into our crumbs, which is going to change up a bit. The crumb section after our filling is basically going to be our final thoughts and our reviews and a little bit of sayonara for you guys. So let's dig on into it. Cake Bitch, in horror, what have you been doing lately?
So I recently picked up my first Stephen King.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's a Stephen King, Richard Schismar. I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, but they co-wrote it. It's called Gwendy's Button Box, and it's a little more fantasy, I would say, with horror undertones. It reminded me a lot of Neil Gaiman's writing, but it's basically about this young girl who meets a strange man during her workout. She's a little bit chubby, and she's a young teenager, so she's trying to lose weight. This mysterious guy finds her and gives her this button box. It has a bunch of buttons on it. Certain buttons will, like, one will dispense a chocolate that will satisfy all your cravings. So if you're craving, like, an entire bag of Oreos, you can press the button, get one of these little chocolates, and all of your cravings go away like that. So she uses that a lot in the book because she's a teenager trying to lose weight. There's another one, or a lever, I think it is, that maybe it's a lever than a button. But anyways, it dispenses these rare gold coins that she saves up. But there are, if you press the buttons on the button box, something bad will happen somewhere in the world. The buttons correspond to the continents. And so it's basically the story kind of follows her stress about this box, like having it fall into the wrong hands, trying to choose whether she's going to press the button or not, satisfying her curiosity by finding out what happens when you press the button, that sort of thing. So it was a pretty good read. It's short. So usually Stephen King novels are like 300,000 pages. This one, let me see if I can find it, is like 170. So it's a good short, enjoyable read. I'd say possibly appropriate for a teenager, but it's a fun read for adults too.
Sounds good. I have not checked that out yet, so I'll just go by what you're saying there. I have recently watched something that you watched as well. This movie is called The Believer from 2001. This one stars Ryan Gosling.
But oh, this one.
You're not going to see Ryan Gosling as you're used to him.
Yeah, this almost ruined him for me.
So this is basically Ryan Gosling playing a young Jewish man who joins a Nazi troop.
Yep, neo-Nazis. And
yeah, so this one does have horrific real-life moments in it, but as a horror movie, you're going to be getting more of a drama feel to it, but there are very scary real-life scenarios in there for you.
So this is qualified as a horror? I kind of thought
this is qualified as a drama.
Oh, okay.
But like I said, yes,
it does have horror undertones.
Well, it's real life horror.
Yeah.
Basically, what we have here is almost like a modern day telling of the story of Adolf Hitler. We have a young man who has Jewish in him and is basically very captivating and alluring to others. He has a way about him in speech that helps him pull others in with his charisma and get them to listen to all of his bullshit. Some people are just really good with words. They've got the manipulation on their side.
He's charming and good looking.
Right. So he's definitely got that going for him.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
And he's in this tale going down a very slippery slope as he gets further and further into the world of Nazis. And so much to the point where he's losing all sense of himself and quality of life. And it's got a very supernatural kind of bend to it towards the end, which is a bit unnerving. So if you're interested in something that has horror tones with a real-life spin, you've got someone around you that's not completely into horror, but you still want to have a little bit of that excitement on you.
Yeah, it was horrifying, but it wasn't.
Right.
Wasn't. It was more dramatic than.
Yeah.
Horror.
This definitely has some tones in it you could possibly appreciate. So also, I've been reading the Armageddon series by Robert Rankin, starting off with Armageddon the Musical. Now, this one is very wacky, a very comedic tale, much like Terry Pratchett would write. This is a UK writer. And he has taken notes from writers like Tom Holt and Terry Pratchett. The guy is telling a story about these aliens that basically use Earth as a form of their own entertainment. They're the ones that are behind showing us what fire is and moving along our culture to today's...
Building the pyramids.
Right. To basically make us what we are today in order to film us so that they can find enjoyment in the crazy stuff that we do. And
so,
because,
wait, does this mean the guy on the horror, I mean the History Channel is right, it's always aliens?
Yeah, I guess so. So what we have here is basically the ratings for these aliens, they're going down. And what they try to do to switch things up is basically do a little bit of reworking in the script. They're going back in time and messing around with Elvis Presley to avoid what's in the agreement of the show The Earthlings, which is eventually they're supposed to have Armageddon.
Oh.
And to avoid that, they basically reboot. And they keep wanting to reboot to stop Armageddon from happening. And Elvis Presley is their choice to stop the Armageddon from happening. But what they do is they make a time-traveling Brussels sprout. And they send that back to mess around with things. And doesn't go as planned. Elvis Presley completely changes up everything and starts actually bringing upon Armageddon in his own way. And him and the Brussels sprout, they do a lot of very strange things, and the book goes a lot of very weird places. It does have nods to horror in it, and Robert Rankin is a fan of horror. He's got some scenes in there with the Bates Motel, and basically you got some moments in Psycho there, which are pretty fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's on the cover here?
It's Elvis Presley's blue suede shoe with wings on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It looked like a raisin. I was like, what?
The book is crazy, and it goes all over the place, and it's got some really disturbing moments in it. But, yeah, that's what I've been reading lately. Not really horror, but you've definitely got some nods to horror in it.
Now I have a question. Are weird writers drawn to Elvis Presley? Because I was reading about a book called Bubba Hotep.
Okay.
Have you read it?
There's a film about it.
Okay. It's based on the book.
Mm-hmm.
And Elvis Presley is some, like, warrior badass or something. I can't right. remember what it is.
Yeah, he's like an elderly...
It sounded like a super weird book.
It's a weird movie. He's an elderly man that's... he's basically fighting a mummy in it. So okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. I didn't know that it was a book, though.
Yeah, it's a book, and there's actually a prequel written.
Oh, really?
I was originally looking at the prequel, and I found out that it was a prequel, and then I was reading about this. So I wasn't sure if you ever read the book or not. I didn't buy it for you because it's like, it sounds weird enough, he might actually own it.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm going to have to get it now because the movie's great, and well, the movie has Bruce Campbell starring in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think the Bubba Hotep book is only 99 cents on Kindle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it might be a good time to pick it up.
There you go. So that's all I got in horror lately, unless you have anything. It's the holiday season, so everybody's running around, and I'm also running around with like a chicken with my head cut off.
Well, everyone knows we live in Harrisburg, right?
Right.
So I was downtown, and there was this crazy drive-by shooting. Two, actually, but they mm-hmm. were related, and like, cops everywhere, and I was just blissfully unaware until my mom informed me and was like, she's just a worrywart. And then I checked Penn Live, our local newspaper coverage, and it was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
They're
so that's horrible.
Yeah, they're spreading some kind of thing during the holidays. Not joy, but bullets for sure.
Yeah, bullets, mm-hmm. horror, terror. All sorts of fun things.
Yeah, so be safe out there. Just because it's the holiday season doesn't make you safe from crazy people.
No.
So maybe go out with a bulletproof vest on.
Or, you know, at least have your life in order. Clear your browser history every time you leave.
You could always snazz up your bulletproof vest, put some Christmas lights on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. ugly bulletproof vest contest.
Right, there yeah. you go. Yeah.
So, apparently the gin is already going to my head.
Yeah, gin and whiskey tonight. I wore a Krampus sweater during the ugly Christmas contest at my work. I did not win.
You know, I think
it's because I wear...
you wear it all the time.
I wear horror sweaters all the time yeah. during the winter. So.
Well, I think that's cheating, too. Like, if you wear just... a horror sweater as your ugly sweater. Like, that's not an ugly sweater. That's just a horror-themed sweater.
I guess.
When I think ugly sweater contest, I'm thinking fucking twinkle lights wrapped around your body, tinsel glued around your neck. Like, it needs to be gaudy and handmade in order to be an ugly sweater in my world.
Green and red dildos all
over
your body?
I mean, depending on your workplace or the party atmosphere, yeah, like, that could work. Okay.
Oh, so something we did not mention in our last episode where we were talking about Krampus. There is a very special Christmas celebration out there that I would love for you to touch upon and let the listeners know.
About Black Peter?
Yes. Regale us some tales of Black Peter.
I don't have my notes up because you have my phone right now, but I will tell you what I know. So Black Peter is, I believe, Swedish or Dutch. Now I'm not sure. I think Swedish. He is supposed to be he's supposed to be Moor. So what they do, he's the equivalent of Krampus. He's St. Nicholas's counterpart. He's not quite as vicious as mm-hmm. Krampus. I don't think he's supposed to be an otherworldly being. I think he's just a Moor.
Mm-hmm.
But they, these very, very white Northern Europeans will put blackface on in order to dress like Black Peter. So he looks a little bit like old Greg, but it's blackface instead of greenface.
Okay.
Very weird. Like, they wear kinky-haired wigs and everything. It's very, very racist.
Well, why?
I don't know. Like, it's really just... They don't have a real good explanation as to how Black Peter came about.
Okay.
Other than he is connected to St. Nicholas, much like Krampus or... I can't remember what the Pennsylvania Dutch one is.
Right.
Oh, right. So it would have been Sweden because it wouldn't be the Netherlands.
Okay.
But yeah, he's from Morocco.
So, yeah, I mean, so let me ask you this. When we go out shopping and we pass Christmas aisles, I've been seeing African-American Santa Claus. They're like, you know, we've got the regular Santa Claus that... is you know, pretty standard for the 80s children, like jolly, fat, and white, rosy red cheeks. Next to him, we've got a black Santa. Has nothing to do with Black Peter.
No.
Nothing.
No. Black Peter is related very remotely to the story of Krampus. He is St. Yeah. Nicholas's counterpart.
Right.
He is the one that comes to punish the children. He doesn't take them away in sacks to the mm-hmm. underworld or anything like that. I don't even know that he carries a whip. Mm-hmm. I think he just scares them.
Okay.
Scary black guy, you know.
Right.
Way to go.
Sneaks into their house.
Well, he comes with St. Nicholas. I don't think he sneaks into the house either.
Well, St. Nicholas is also sneaking into the house. I mean, they're getting in there somehow.
Well, it used to be like a feast of St. Nicholas, though. Like, St. Nicholas would show up when people were awake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like,
so they would knock on the door?
Yeah, they just come by. People would invite them in, offer their children, their bad children up. And
so maybe the legend of St. Peter started because there was a black dude that just knocked on the door once. And...
Then you're not this, Santa?
And this family was looking at him all weird, so he just pretended to be this like counterpart of Santa.
Yeah, don't quote me on it now and that he was it's like, Sweden, because hey, I don't
wanna... My name's Black Peter. I'm here to punish your kids and get a free meal. How about that?
I heard your kids are bad. I can help you with this.
Yeah. Maybe it was just some crazy guy and then it caught on. Yeah.
I don't know. It's very uncomfortable. It's questionable. Definitely Google it and read about it because it's so bizarre. But yeah,
it's just he's supposed to be a supernatural creature, correct?
I don't think Black Peter is. I think Black Peter is just a human.
Well, then he's like what, eternal, right? I mean, if people are still celebrating him and they're telling their kids about him, and this has been going on for such a long time.
And they're painting their faces in blackface, and yeah.
So he has to be some kind of like immortal or something.
I guess he could be immortal.
Right.
I don't think he's a supernatural being though. I think this is just a legend of a guy who accompanied Saint Nicholas. Nicholas is based on
an
actual human.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I think it's just like that sort of thing. But yeah, it's super bizarre.
But it's not like...
And it makes me uncomfortable.
I have to say that as a very privileged white male American, I feel like I'm looking at it probably the wrong way. Like, it's not outrightly racist just because they're doing what they're doing for Black Peter, right?
It's like, very controversial.
It is? Even there?
I'm pretty sure it's controversial. Like, everyone is...
I could understand it being controversial
here. Everyone is coming
aware
of this stuff.
Well, I could understand it being controversial here, but over there, like, they've got a completely different mindset than we do.
I don't know. It definitely seems like it's controversial there as well.
Well, did they have slavery over there?
Oh, I mean, all white people had slavery.
Okay.
Like, it was just aristocratic people owned other people. It wasn't necessarily just African slaves. Mm-hmm. Like, they owned... the Irish in America
right.
were indentured servants, which were a step above slaves, but it was still that they had to serve their masters until a certain period of time or, well, mostly time passed. Like, it was almost like a punishment. They could escape prison by agreeing to be indentured servants.
So what you're saying is over there is still racism.
Well, there's racism over there, everywhere. Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just, it's very bizarre.
So where it's like a touchy subject over there, is it the equivalent of what it's like over here?
I think so, yeah. I mean, have you seen, you don't read the news all that much.
No.
But Prince Harry is engaged to a mixed race American actress, I believe.
Oh, I did hear about
this. And his aunt showed up wearing a very racist brooch. I forget what they're called, but it's like the characterized black person with the very dark skin and the very white eyes and the lips, and like it's ornamental.
Right. I'm pretty sure. Aren't they called Aunt Jemimas?
I think that's what they're called here. I think that was a thing in America. I really can't remember what they're called in the UK. They have a term.
Okay.
But I mean, it's very, it's no, it's not like something that's generally accepted over there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in the news recently.
Well, that seems very weird to show up with something like that.
Yeah.
In that,
I mean, you almost have to be either completely oblivious and stupid or just trying to stir shit.
Well, you know what's going to happen to her, right?
I forget. They called
her. She's going to be visited by Black Peter, and she's going to be screwed.
Taken away.
Yeah.
Maybe that is what. Maybe that's what Black Peter does. He comes and he takes the racists away.
There you go.
I have to go call Black Peter.
I feel like this could be a pretty awesome horror movie. Like, we've got, you know, a bunch of douchebag racists, right? Bunch of privileged racist douchebags. And then Christmas time comes, Black Peter shows up and scares them all to death, right?
I feel like there's no good way to do that movie.
Okay.
Like, if you have a white guy in blackface, like the authentic way they celebrate Black Peter in Sweden or whatever.
Right.
That's super racist.
Okay.
If you have a black guy show up, then you're just spreading that stereotype that black men are violent.
Oh, okay.
Evil beings who can't be trusted around white people.
Like, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time a horror movie was offensive, but...
That would be a very, very difficult movie
It would be a cool holiday movie to see some racists get their due desserts.
I mean, yeah. But isn't that kind of what Get Out was about?
I suppose.
That was satisfying.
Yeah, it was. Okay. So, anyway, we're going to play a little bit of a segment here for you, Cake Bitch. It's our daily Are You a Dummy question.
Oh, Lord.
Welcome to Australia, cocksucker!
That Crocodile Dundee?
It sounds like Crocodile Dundee, but instead it is Mick Taylor.
Who's Mick Taylor?
Mick Taylor is the star of Wolf Creek, which has two full-length feature films.
Is this what the questions are about?
No. We are doing
Wolf Creek.
Jesus. We are doing questions. The Horror for Dummies podcast is a podcast that can be found on the same feed that you can find our show and the Padded Room podcast.
Uh-huh.
There are three shows this one feed.
This is so unfair.
Horror for Dummies, they're Australian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So that's where the Australian guy.
That's why I played Mick Taylor.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's the only.
They recently reviewed the movie Krampus.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you a question.
Like the new-ish one.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you a question, and if you had watched their show, you would know the answer.
This is unfair. Uh-huh. It was finals week.
All right. Okay. So the movie Krampus.
Yes.
Very easy question. You got a 50-50 here.
Badass gingerbread man.
50-50.
Okay.
True or false? Was there a comic book that went along with the film and showed you what the true ending of it was.
I feel like there was.
Yes. you're right.
That movie felt like it. Now, the
ending of Krampus had a very interpretive ending, but if you want to know what the creative teams out there behind the film have to say about what the final word on it is, even though the director himself has not come out and said it, this comic book does exist and does cover what they want the ending to truly be. You can either listen to the Horror for Dummies podcast, or you can go out and dig up that comic, which, you know, that seems like a lot of work. I wonder
if the library has it.
Seems like a lot of work. I'd probably just play the podcast. so you can check that out. And I will say that this Are You a Dummy horror segment, Are You a Dummy segment is...
is the whiskey going to your head?
It is. Is brought to you by Horror for Dummies. And this segment is in no way endorsed by Horror for Dummies or its affiliators. All rights are reserved by Mick Taylor and copyrighted by the Dingo Ate My Baby Corporation. Thank you for listening and catch Horror for Dummies every Friday on paddedroom.podbean.com.
You know that the dingo really did eat someone's baby, right?
Yes, actually there was a movie about it starring Sigourney Weaver.
I can't even laugh at it anymore because I thought it was just a joke, but it's real.
Yes, and the movie
is so sad.
The movie is bad, so skip that. But okay. Yeah. I'd love to have a pet dingo. That would be great.
But the dingo would eat our baby.
No, it wouldn't. Dingoes
would
are great.
Eat Nolly.
All right, so yes, we're going to be moving into our main course here. So you guys are going to have to bear with me. This is the first time we're doing this new thing. We're going to see how it goes, and I want it to be a continuous thing, so hopefully it does well. Now, we are going to be battling. It's a bit of a game, and we're going to be throwing questions out there, and we're going to be scoring one another. So, if I end up winning, I am going to be choosing as our next review the movie Popcorn from 1991. And if Cake Bitch wins, she is picking Temple from 2017.
Is it a Netflix original or just streaming on Netflix?
Streaming on Netflix, okay. As far as I know. So, that will be aired in January. The very next show we already have planned, which is The Evil Head with Dustbrain.
I'm so looking forward to that
right.
one.
Which is
didn't ever think I would say, hey, I'm going to settle in and watch a porn horror with my boyfriend and his best friend.
Yeah. But you are.
I am.
Yep.
I am.
So, the way that this game is going to work is I am going to throw questions at you, Cake Bitch. Okay?
All right.
And you can either answer the question, okay?
Yep.
If you get it right, you get 10 points. You get
10 points?
Yeah. If you get it wrong, you lose 10 points.
Are you going to keep track of the points? I am doing this. Okay.
If you get it right, you get 10. If you get it wrong, you lose 10. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if
what
you
if
don't
I pass?
If you don't know the answer, you can turn it around on me and ask me a question about the film, okay?
Right. Got it.
And if I get it right, you lose double points. But if I get it wrong, then you gain your points anyways. You get to keep your 10 points.
Now, why 10 points? Is there a chance for partial credit?
I just like the number 10.
Okay, but couldn't it just have been 1 point then?
Nope, I like the number 10.
Okay.
Also, if you would rather, you can, instead of answering the question, just take a shot.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, that's why I have my gin in front of me.
Yep, if you take a shot, you can still get half points.
Oh, that's what the half points are. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this will also work under the circumstance where if I ask you a question, you don't know the answer, so you turn it around on me and ask me one. If I get it right, instead of losing double points, you could take two shots.
Then do I only lose half points?
Then you are not regular losing points? Any points.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
So that's how this is going to work.
This is like a card game where all of the rules just get mixed up in my head and I go, I'll just try to answer the questions.
So the way that we prepared for this, listeners, is basically we watched the movie. And during the running of the movie, we were able to take notes from the film or form questions or go online and do research for more obscure questions. So that's how the game's going to run. We're not, like, doing this outside of the viewing of the movie. So this poses a pretty interesting battlefield because if you're looking things up online that are obscure, you're missing chunks of the movie.
Oh, so, right, because we had to look right. it up during the movie.
Right.
Yes.
So those are the rules of this game, and we're going to be starting this off with the synopsis of the film. I need you to give me a synopsis within 30 seconds. Go.
So this movie is about a classic novel written by Jane Austen, and there are zombies in it, and zombie fighters, and they're all kick-ass women. The end? Or do I still have time?
I suppose that was good enough. Alright, so, next off, we're going to be throwing at you, Cake Bitch, a very simple question. Who directed the movie?
Jesus. I know it was based on the book written by Seth Graham Smith, but I do not know who directed the movie.
Director is Burr Steers.
Should I have taken a shot instead of that?
You could have chosen to, but you're out of the way now.
Okay, so I'm negative 10.
All right, so who originally wrote the book Pride and Prejudice?
Oh, Jane Austen.
Okay. And who adapted this to film?
Seth Graham Smith.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
And
was that two questions or just one?
That was two.
Okay. I'm out of the hole.
So, let's move into a question here. Let me figure this out. Little rough around the edges for this one, guys. trying this new thing out. So, our lead actress, Lizzie, who is played by Lily James, playing Elizabeth Bennet.
Mm-hmm.
She had some training to fight zombies. What type of training was it, and where did she get her training?
Well, all I remember is that I can ask you a question instead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hold on a second. Let me pick one.
All right.
All right. So in the movie, it's littered with relation, like between two people. It's all about how families know each other. What familial relationship exists between Lady Catherine and Mr. Darcy?
Lady Catherine and Mr. Darcy. Lady Catherine is basically a badass with an eye patch. And you'll know the actress Lena Headey from Game of Thrones.
Oh, is she on Game of Thrones?
Yes.
She took this role because she wanted to wear an eye patch.
Yeah, she's basically a badass that kills lots of zombies. You get a moment in the film that's really cool. It's only lasting for about 30 seconds where she's on top of a giant horde of zombies that she's slain. And there's zombies climbing up this mound to get at her, where she's dual-wielding katanas and slicing their heads off.
She's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a very, very quick scene. But it's very cool. And she is the aunt of Mr. Darcy.
Damn it. damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought all of these things were confusing.
Yep, a little bit of applause for me. No applause for you.
So are you going to answer the question you originally asked me?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to answer the question, give me the answer to the question you originally asked me?
Well, I suppose...
What kind of training?
I suppose I could still do that. It was a Shaolin monk training in China. So they had basically said that there were two different types of training that were done. There was training in China and training in Japan.
Yes.
The people who had more money could go to Japan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the fact that the Bennett sisters were all trained in China put them at a social disadvantage.
Right.
Even though they were the most badass.
So there's two main families that we're working with here. We've already mentioned the Bennets, and they are basically consisting of Elizabeth, or Lizzie, and her sisters. And then there's a contrast family who's more on the higher end of the social hierarchy.
Yes.
And they are known as the what?
Oh, the Bingleys.
Yep, the Bingleys.
That was a very softball sort of question for me.
Well, also, while we're doing this, I want to kind of give a feel for the listeners of what the hell we're talking about.
You mean they haven't all read Pride and Prejudice?
I doubt it. I mean, I was so lost watching this because I had never read it.
I slogged through it a few years back.
You slogged through the book.
Through the book, right. Yes. This movie is fantastic. And I have not read the book that this movie is based on yet. I mm-hmm. would like to at some point. But yeah, the original Jane Austen is so drawn out. She probably could have cut half of the story and we would have gotten the same gist. Like, just cut everything but the love story.
Right.
Because that's what we're interested in anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was... It focused a lot on how dumb her mom was. And how boring Mr. Collins was. This movie gave Mr. Collins a new life.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a modern facelift on the tired tale. So, when... here's a quote from the film. Let's see if you can finish it. Zombies or no zombies, all women must think of blank.
Oh, shoot.
Now, I should say, and I don't think I covered it before, but when you do get the questions wrong, I get the points.
Oh.
That's how I'm able to win.
Oh, shoot. Is it...
Running out of time here.
Self-defense?
You're going with self-defense?
Yeah.
Nope, it is marriage.
Oh, that's right. That was
zombies or no zombies, all women must think of marriage.
Or was that one of the sisters?
That was one of Lizzie's sisters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was Jane that said that to her. Okay.
Jane is trying to secure herself a financial future.
So, in the film, Mr. Darcy, who is our lead male protagonist, he... is introducing the set of zombies to the viewer by going to a social gathering. They're having a little bit of a tea and biscuit kind of lunch or brunch, whatever. Yeah. And what he does is he finds out that there is a zombie among them, and the people are trying to hide who it is. So what he does is he uses something to locate who the zombie is. And the thing about the zombies in this movie is they're not all just like mindless automatons that are running at you. They can blend in if some of them seem to be able to have a higher brain function and they can kind of blend in. So not all of them look all decayed and whatnot. So he has to find out who the zombie is. And how does he do that?
He uses carrion flies. Carrion?
Mm-hmm.
Carrion?
Yep, that's correct. Carrion flies.
Yeah, the way that they actually maintain their undercover status is if they don't partake in human flesh, human brains, they don't decompose quickly. So if they just avoid partaking of human flesh, human brains, they won't rot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
So, in the film, we've got Mr. Darcy, a very, like, very against admitting his interest in Lizzie. And yes. It's a common theme throughout. So, when does he first acknowledge his interest in her?
When does he first acknowledge it?
To himself.
To himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the first moment was probably when the zombies attacked the party and her sister crew fought them off. They were very skilled warriors.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, I really loved the build-up to that fight scene, which happens before the ball itself. And the reason I love it so much is because you've got Lizzie and her really hot sisters dressing up, putting on their stockings
now,
and their heels.
Now, her little sisters are like 15 years old, sir.
Well, they're supposed to be, but the actresses are not. And they're arming themselves up with, like, throwing daggers and guns and all sorts of shit. And, you know, they've got girdle... what are those things called? They're like the thigh straps.
Yeah, you know, the things that they take off of the brides.
I think it's just called a girdle strap. A garter. Yeah, that's garter. It. They're filling their garter straps with throwing knives and stuff. Yeah. And it's a sexy scene. It's very cool.
In a very empowering, strangely empowering way.
Strangely enough.
They're covered up enough that it doesn't feel obtrusive, but I mean, they're
clearly...
It piqued
my interest.
They are ready to fight. They are not wearing these fancy,
so,
fluffy skirts.
When the zombies do come to the ball, we've got Lizzie and her sisters basically whipping out all of their weaponry and going to town and kicking ass.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
They must have put some spandex in those corsets that they had to wear, though.
Mm-hmm.
It kept their breasts in place, but there's no way that you can fight in an actual non-stretchy corset.
Right.
So that was not accurate to time period.
So Mr. Darcy's brother has a thing for Jane, and when Lizzie's sister Jane goes to visit the Bingleys for tea, because she's invited... to go and have tea with them there. Her journey is cut short because what? Describe the scene.
The journey to Bingley's?
Yes, her journey to Bingley's is cut short. And why is that?
She comes across a zombie in the woods, and she very quickly kills him. But then she encounters the zombie mother and zombie child, and, she has to make a decision whether she's going to kill them or not, and it kind of cuts away from it, so we're not exactly sure what she chose.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of tension there. But, yeah, I think she slaughters the mother and child because she gets away just fine.
Right. What I did like about that, even though they did cheat and cut away from killing the baby and mother... we've got her fighting an old man, which I'm guessing is the father of them.
Yeah, probably.
And basically the old man comes at her. She first cuts off his one leg, and he's still standing. So then she spins around, cuts off his other. He tries to grab her, so she cuts off his arms. And she does it in this, like, whirling dervish way that basically makes him a quadriplegic.
Tis only a flesh wound.
And then she uses the heel of her boot to cave in his face.
Oh, yeah. She stomps his face in.
Yeah. That's very cool. So, she's given a wound on her hand from the battle. And what causes that wound?
Her musket/gun backfires.
Yep, that is correct.
By the way, Bingley is not Darcy's brother. They are just good friends, I believe.
Ooh, okay.
They're social friends.
So, let's find another question for you here.
The Bingleys actually want Darcy to marry their daughter.
So, when Lizzie goes to the Bingleys because she finds out about her sister Jane being injured, she basically finds out that her sister is going to be fine. She was not bitten.
Right.
And there's this cool scene where she's basically picking flies out from the air because Darcy has let carrion flies out. Right. And he's trying to find out if Jane was bitten and if she's becoming a carrion.
Yes. And he really just wants Jane gone right. from this picture.
And Lizzie is snapping the flies with forefinger and thumb from the air, which is pretty cool. Once she has a moment with her sister Jane, she goes at nighttime to find Mr. Darcy and his family sitting down having a social hour with some bourbon or something. And they're all snobby to her. And at one point, Lizzie pulls a book off of a shelf and kind of shows off her knowledge against theirs. What is the title of the book that she pulls off of the shelf?
It's The Art of War.
That's correct.
Yep.
And who wrote The Art of War?
Oh, I don't know that one.
I don't know
the other one.
No.
Lao, Zay, So.
Nope, that was a double question there. So
wait, then I get partial points for it.
Sure,
then
I'll give
it cancels
you,
out.
I'll give you partial. All right. We have a ball that's being held somewhere soon, and Lizzie's invited to it as well as Jane. Where is this ball being held?
Netherfield.
Netherfield, that is correct.
Lives.
Netherfield, is that something that's actually in the original book, Pride and Prejudice?
Yes, because that's how I found out what it was actually
it
called.
It sounds very otherworldly. It sounds very
it
much
I
like a place where
too.
Ghosts live.
The Netherworlds.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. I enjoyed that. So, we already mentioned Lady Catherine. She has an eye patch, like we said.
Yes.
So, which eye is being covered by the eye patch?
Like, her direction?
She's basically
or when we're looking
missing,
at her?
Like, her eye, and she's got this nasty gash.
Yeah.
So, which eye has the eye patch on?
Which, like, if we were her. Which eye would it be? Not like we're looking at her and we're saying what side of her body.
Right.
From our perspective.
Right, if it was you. If that's the way you need to think of it.
Her left eye.
Actually, my dear, you are wrong.
What?
It's, at first it's her right eye when the first time we see her when she's on the horde of zombies. It's her right eye. And then later in the film, we see it on her left eye throughout the rest of the film.
I question this, but okay.
Yeah, it was very strange. I mean, I noticed it, so hopefully I'm not wrong. Maybe
you're gonna win because you cheat.
I don't think I was drinking during that time. Yes, instead of saying fuck in this movie, they don't say fuck. What do they say instead of fuck? What do they replace the word fuck with?
I don't think I know.
Because we can say fuck on this podcast as much as we want, but apparently they can't say fuck in Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. They can show zombies being turned into quadriplegics and getting their face smashed in, but heaven forbid they say the word fuck.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't think I
you don't
registered
know?
Anything. Fiddlesticks?
Oh, you should have turned that one around on me. It is fuddle.
Oh, so I was close.
It is fuddle.
Fuddle.
Mm-hmm. None of the fucks, lots of the fuddle.
Oh, fuddle is what they say? Oh, fuddle.
So, Mr. Collins shows up later in the film. This is played by a Doctor Who character, Matt Smith. Matt Smith. Took me a moment to think of his name. He was one of the earlier incarnations of Doctor Who. I think he was the 12th Doctor.
I never got to the point where he was the Doctor. Like, okay. A lot of people started watching, I think, when he was the Doctor, because he's so freaking dreamy.
Well, it's weird, the character that he's playing in this film, because from what you said, the character is meant to be Mr. Collins. The character he's playing is meant to be, like, fat and boring and kind of oafish.
I don't know if I made up the round just based on the fact that they said how slow he was
and
everything, because I read this years ago. But he's very boring. The only thing that this Mr. Collins has in common is that he's, like, completely oblivious to everything happening around him. All of the drama happening around him. He is a singular focus on finding a wife so that he can be a proper pastor and look the part and play the part. But he's not boring at all. Like, he's super weirdly quirky and charming, but, like, he's completely aloof.
Right. He's very aloof. So he's originally coming to the Bennetts to meet his love interest, which is who?
Well, he's choosing a love interest, isn't
he? He's originally interested in one of them, and he asks to talk to them alone.
Oh, well,
because that is like third base for these people in this time period. I want to talk to your daughter alone.
Well, originally he's interested in Jane, but she is spoken for.
Correct.
So then he turns his attention to Lizzie.
Correct. Yep.
And she wants nothing to do with him.
So during a walk with Mr. Collins, the Bennett girls, along with him, they come across what?
That's very vague.
Well, it's basically leading up to the thing that they come across before scene ends. So they're walking, and they stop because there's something that requires attention.
They come across an accident, like... a cart overturned, and there's somebody inside the cart screaming for help?
Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
So, basically, this person ends up being a zombie.
Right.
Right?
It's a trap, which shows that they have higher brain function.
Right. She looks normal, but there's a little bit of weird stuff going on the back of her head is bloody.
She's partially rotten.
Right.
Yeah.
And the whole time
she's
running at them, she's pleading, saying, like, oh, I'm so happy you found me. This was, you know, a terrible thing that happened.
Yeah.
So what was she? She was a salesman of sorts. What did she sell?
Is this one of those two-parters?
It's just one question. What did she sell? Running out of time.
I have no idea.
All right. I guess you're not going to turn it around on me ever.
That's an option.
Since you didn't get that, basically she sells oil.
Oil?
For lamps.
She's a snake oils?
For lamps. Lamp oil. Saleswoman. All right. So that's some points for me. Next question for you, my dear. What is amiss between Mr. Wickham and Mr. Darcy? These are two characters that are at each other's throats,
like
literally at the end of the movie. But what is the what is the issue between them?
Like the real issue.
Yes.
So the real issue is that Wickham was Mr. Darcy's father's grandson, godson.
He's basically introduced to the viewer via showing up, getting dirty looks by Mr. Darcy and then trying to get in Lizzie's pants.
Yes. Well, he shows up originally just chatting up Lizzie, and right. then Darcy shows up. But, so he was Darcy's dad's godson. Mm-hmm. He left him money in his inheritance after he passed the plague. And Wickham squandered all the money away.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in an attempt to regain some monetary standing, he seduces Darcy's very young sister. She's, I think, 15 or something at the time.
Right.
And convinces her to elope so that he can have part of the family fortune. Because mm-hmm. he's an asshole.
I think that was pretty good. So, you're getting the points for that one. kind of an asshole there.
That was actually one of the questions that I had, so I'm glad I didn't use that one when I turned it around on you.
I would have got it wrong. Mr. Collins, our doofy Mr. Collins, he wants to marry Lizzie now that Jane's not available. And Lizzie's kind of got a lot of dudes coming for her vagina throughout this movie.
Well, I mean, who can blame them?
She is a very attractive woman. She wants, yes, that's important too.
And she can kill zombies like nothing.
Gotta have that.
Important.
Mr. Collins wants her to retire something as part of his wedding proposal that he awkwardly brings up to her. What does he want her to retire?
Her warrior skills.
That's correct. Her warrior skills.
Foreshadowing, she said she would never give up her warrior skills for a man.
Yes, and I don't think you should, especially during a zombie apocalypse.
Right. I mean, why would you ask that?
So this is a pretty strange name for a church. This church is called the Church of St. Lazarus. So what in the Church of St. Lazarus, what's in there? It's a church that in this scene, Mr. Wickham takes Lizzie there. What's in the church? What's weird about it?
It's a church of zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Correct. That's some more points for you, my dear. Why are they in this church? Why did Wickham bring her to the church?
Wickham is trying to use her in this ploy to get a quote-unquote treaty between the zombies and the living humans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he's genuine in wanting this treaty, but he's attempting to show her that the zombies aren't all dangerous, mindless, evil creatures.
Because they can go to church.
Because they can go to church.
Yep, very right. Good go.
And drink pig brain.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing in this church. They're all eating pig brains.
Yeah, it's their communion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A communion of pig brain. Would you ever take that at church?
It seems like it doesn't really make a lot of sense, because Jesus would definitely not have been eating any sort of pork products as a living person.
That's very true, yeah.
So, that's a strange animal choice.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were afraid if they did cow brains, it would be like mad cow disease on top of zombieism.
Yeah, that's true. That would be weird.
I don't know.
We go from here to an audience with Lady Catherine that Mr. Wickham wants to have with her. Our other members are here, Mr. Darcy and Collins and Lizzie. And there is a mention of a zombie aristocracy. And what is this? What is the zombie aristocracy?
It's the zombie aristocracy.
Can you elaborate?
Besides repeating. They're well-to-do zombies who still have their wits about them for mm-hmm. the most part. They are members of this church, from what I can gather.
Right.
And they are planning to overtake the living humans.
Right. Basically, that's what I was looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just keep talking about them.
We basically find out that they're going to be the main antagonist here.
Yes. Okay.
So Mr. Darcy eventually, haphazardly, with humility, proposes to Lizzie. And how does she react to this proposal?
Not well.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie is very, very angry with Darcy, mostly because he has ruined her big sister's chance of happiness by persuading Bingley to leave and not marry her sister Jane. Mm-hmm. That's really... And she thinks he's vain.
Right.
And stubborn, but mostly it's just that he fucked with her sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You fuck with my sister, things don't go well for you.
No, the rumble between them is pretty intense.
Yeah. What I really liked about this, and see, because Matt didn't read Pride and Prejudice, is this is basically their verbal spar come to life. Jane Austen's original novel is really them trading verbal remarks, mean, yeah, pointed remarks at each other the whole time.
They wordy repartee.
To each other.
Yeah, I can
like,
see it.
Yeah, so this is like all of that sprung into physical action, and it's fantastic.
Which starts off with her kicking him in the gut,
yeah,
and knocking him into a
yeah,
a
she
desk.
Attacks he, yeah, she attacks his pride.
She physically attacks him.
It's a pretty good analogy there.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
So when was the moment that Darcy did fall in love with Lizzie?
Didn't we already cover when that's when he first admitted.
When he admitted that he was interested in her. So this is when he knows that he fell in love with her.
Ooh. I thought it's a series of
running out of time here.
I don't like your stupid music.
You gonna turn it around on me or
sure, I'll turn it around. I'll try turning it around. Let me see what I have here.
Alright.
What country was blamed for the zombie outbreak?
Russia.
Wrong. It was
what?
France.
Really?
They blamed France.
Ah, shit. All right. Why did I think it was Russia?
Yeah, It was a joke right at the beginning of the film.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they said they blamed France.
All right. So the answer to my question was he doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know.
No.
So I didn't know either.
Yeah, I was trying to trick you there. I feel like I should give myself the
does he actually say that he doesn't know when it happened?
I feel like I have to give myself the wrong buzzer. 'Cause I didn't do it to myself yet. Where does Darcy go to fight the zombie horde after leaving Lizzie? We basically got him and her fighting. He admits that he doesn't know when he fell in love with her, but he does. And he humbles himself before her, but she chases him off. And he goes somewhere to fight. Where does he go?
I thought he went to London.
He can't get sex, so he goes to where?
I thought he went to London.
That's correct. He goes to London. Good old London. Now, how does... I don't want to say that one. That one's too easy. You're getting too many points here.
You're cheating. You're rigging
this. So, Potter's Field is a what? When Lizzie and her sisters do catch up with Mr. Darcy, and I thought it was his brother, but you think it's just a friend of his.
Yeah, I think it's a social friend.
But they're basically...
Well, I think they're both colonels.
They're basically fighting in Potter's Field.
Mm-hmm.
And Potter's Field is a what?
Zombie graveyard?
God damn it. Motherfucker.
If you had just left it as what is Potter Field, I would have been like, oh no, I don't know.
so The zombie aristocracy, when we do see them at Potter's Field, they're wearing masks. And my question for you is, what color is the mask, and what horror icon do they resemble?
Well, they're gold masks.
Okay.
And I would say they resemble Jason.
No.
No?
Nope. They actually resemble Michael Myers. It's a very basic kind of...
okay.
Yeah. You're thinking hockey mask. Like, what time period is this? Hockey doesn't exist at this time.
All masks are the same. I almost said Leatherface, because he covers his face, too.
Are you thinking this is, like, during the time of the NHL? Like,
Their corsets clearly had spandex in them.
Jesus. All right. So, your final question is, how does Wickham die? Basically... Mr. Wickham is the lead antagonist. We find out that he is, throughout the movie, evil.
Yes. Well, he's a douchebag.
And you kind of already explained why.
Yeah.
So how does he die? Because there is a confrontation between him and Mr. Darcy.
Is this a trick question?
I'm just asking you, in this film... how does Wickham die?
He doesn't.
Motherfucker! Why? Why doesn't he die?
Why would you ask me that? That was one of the things I was talking about after the movie. I was like, I could have sworn she cut off his head.
I didn't hear that. I mean, most of what you say goes...
You never listen to anything I say.
All right, so tell me about this. Why doesn't he die in this film?
Well, so he's a zombie, so right. He's already dead.
He's been dead since the beginning.
So I wasn't sure if this is a trick question because he's been dead, right. So he died of the zombie plague. But, like, he's not dead.
Right.
But he almost kills Darcy, and Lizzie comes along and cuts off his arm that he's strangling Darcy with.
Mm-hmm.
And... in my head, I was just like, she wouldn't just leave him there.
No, but apparently
she just leaves him there. And I guess it makes sense. They have to try and get back across that bridge before it gets exploded and they're stuck with the zombies.
Right.
So she probably just scoops up Darcy and hightails it out of there. But yeah.
You know what I wanted to do at the beginning of this? I wanted to say, hey, before you listen to this show, if you want to play along... turn this off and watch the movie and then play us. So maybe for the next show, I'll say that.
Okay. But in fairness, this movie, I mean, we touched on the plot points for sure, pretty in depth. But this movie is really about the fight scenes and the badassery and the hot women in corsets.
So we're going to
move. And Mr. Collins.
We're going to move ahead with our points here. And then we will move into our ratings and final thoughts of the film itself. So, Jesus Christ. I have 70 points. You have 190.
Well, where's my negative 10, though?
I don't put negative 10. I give them to me. When you get them wrong.
That's right. That's
how I get points.
Got it.
And because this is our first time doing it, I guess, you know, I know next time I need to make them a little bit harder.
or at least listen to the stuff I'm ranting about after the movie so that you don't ask me the questions.
Perhaps. So, yeah, let us know if you guys enjoyed this. If you completely hate it, I guess we'll regrettably do it next time. But, yeah.
Eventually, your hate will catch up to us, and we will change the format.
Yeah, hopefully we're going to get into a smoother transition to this, because I kind of like this, like, game format.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Even though I kept forgetting that
Even though you didn't take advantage of any of the alcohol moments, but I guess you didn't really have to. I know Jason is, like, awful under pressure.
I am.
He is so awful under pressure, and Dust Brain is going to just keep drinking. And getting points
but
by
so
drinking.
Will you. And then I will live in hell that night. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate it.
So, yeah, let's move into our crumbs here.
Bon appetit, bitch.
So, Cake Bitch, what are your final thoughts of this film? Something that I definitely want to mention is the scene that kind of stops the credits. So we kind of get like her and Darcy getting together, Lizzie and Darcy. And then we have a zombie horde attacking, led by Mr.
Wickham.
Mr. Wickham. And he's got like, I don't know, a knife and that's like stuck in a tree trunk or some shit on his arm. It looks real weird, whatever it is.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, and he's like leading the aristocracy.
So he has a prosthetic.
Yeah.
A zombie prosthetic.
It's like a big stick with knives in it or something. Yeah, it looks ridiculous.
Okay. Well, he's missing his arm.
But they don't like show that fight. It just kind of stops there. They're like, hey, maybe there'll be another part two. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, if they make another
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies 2, Return of More Zombies.
Return of More Zombies.
More zombies, less Pride and Prejudice.
Darcy's babies attack.
That's what it should be called. More zombies, less Pride and Prejudice. Because this was more Pride and Prejudice, less zombies.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was definitely some brain eating. So I feel like you can't discount the fact that there's zombies in it.
Okay.
There's some pretty, like, nasty scenes. Well, one in particular that I was like, ugh, brains.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I was surprised how close to the storyline of Pride and Prejudice this actually stayed. The relationship part of the movie was basically Pride and Prejudice. Like, if you watch the miniseries or probably any of the movie remakes for Pride and Prejudice, because right. I don't suggest reading the book, it's a slog.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically that movie, but they add badass fight scenes,
mm-hmm.
Women fighting in corsets, and zombies. So
right, yeah.
I mean, it was fantastic.
So, basically, Cake Bitch, what I have to think about this is there is sex appeal in it, which is nice, and I would give the sex appeal of the movie a 2. I enjoyed that.
A 2?
Right. A 2.5, I would say. Because, I mean, they didn't show any nudity.
No.
But they did have beautiful women. They had some moments in it that displayed them in lingerie, gearing up with weapons, which is just hot. So 2.5 on the sex appeal.
Okay.
Gonna give it a 1 on the horror appeal, because there's zombies in there. Not too scary. So this is more of an action kind of...
This is definitely very loosely horror.
Right. This is, basically John Carpenter's Vampires had, like, more action than horror. This is definitely, like, a mix between drama, romance, action, horror. And the horror is getting a little bit lost. You do have some cool scenes in there, though, that I appreciate.
I feel like it's the equivalent of vamps.
Okay. the action scenes go, they're pretty fun for what they are in there. I'd give that a 2.5. And as an overall feel, I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5. Because, I mean, I enjoyed it. I feel like it's definitely something that you can watch with your significant other, even if they're not into horror. I feel like this is the perfect balance of letting yourself get some sexy broads, some zombies, and some action, and then let your significant other eat up the romance in it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of like an episode of Buffy, but done really high budget.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah. I am not a natural born horror fan, so I really enjoyed this movie. It impressed me, since I did slog through the original novel, that they stayed so true to it. They definitely updated some of the characters, like Lizzie's mom. She's very concerned about marriage, and she's a little bit vapid.
Yeah.
But They also kind of made her a little bit pervy and a little bit drunk, which was a nice update. But yeah, it's not a horror movie. I would not classify it as horror unless you're just going for the zombie appeal. It reminded me a little of Warm Bodies and that romance meets zombie horror sort of thing.
Yeah.
Very fluffy. I mean, I think it's like a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Because I thought it was really enjoyable. It had a real storyline that has been around for, what, hundreds of years?
Yeah.
But it gave a nice little twist on an old tale that's been told so many times before.
I definitely think that if you've got somebody that has to dig into Pride and Prejudice for whatever reason, do them a favor and let them enjoy this at least first, if not the only way. Like, this is kind of the this is like the Cliff Notes version for people that have to deal with Pride and Prejudice, and you know, maybe they got a little touch of ADD.
Yeah, so. Or you know, if you have to read it for school or something, I don't know why you would have to read it as an adult, but if you have to read it for some reason, watch this movie afterwards as a treat for slogging through that novel.
There's actually a lot of really fun books that have the classical atmosphere with a little bit of a strange horror twist or sci-fi twist to it. They've been doing them a lot, and it's been around for a long time. There's one called The Meowmorphosis, which is interesting because it's basically Kafka's Metamorphosis, where the dude's turning into a cockroach, and of course, because of the title, this they make it turn in, dude's turning into a cat.
Now, they didn't turn that into a movie,
did they? I'm just saying that there's a lot of classic literature out there that puts a strange spin on it, much like this did. And that's kind of cool for kids that don't really want to deal with
adaptation right. would be great for a teenager.
Yeah.
Who's just not interested in Jane Austen.
Yeah.
But they're going to sneakily get some of Jane Austen in there with more modern
I really talent. Like that.
I haven't read the book, but I want to now.
So we're going to be figuring out a little bit of, like, where to place where in this new show structure. But because I only just thought of it, we're going to play you guys a song that has something to do with this movie that we watched. And we're going to try to keep it, like, to the movie somewhat.
Inspired by.
Right. So we'll play a quick song for you. And then we're going to move into our goodbyes.
All right.
So here we go. We've got Cyndi Lauper with Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which I think is appropriate.
That's very appropriate.
Fortunate ones and girls, they want.
All right, cake bitch girls, they just want to have fun.
I think the good place for that song would have been before we entered the game show round.
Okay.
So right. Maybe next show we'll do it in that order.
That seems like a good place.
Yeah.
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 You
have that so loud, by the way.
Yeah, it is pretty loud. I'm going to have to ask Darian to do some normalizing.
Oh, no, I meant in your earbuds.
Oh.
It might sound fine,
maybe.
Recording-wise, wow. But you handed me an earbud, and I was like, Jesus, I don't even have to put this in my ear.
Oh, well, yeah, my ears are kind of dead. I mean,
Well, it's
all
probably
those...
because you crank the music so loud.
Well, I used to go to concerts, and I like, lost a lot of my hearing
you
from
went
them.
To a lot of concerts then.
Well, Nine Inch Nails, I used to like going to their concerts.
Oh,
so whenever
intense.
They were around somewhere nearby, even Canada, I went to there to see them.
Well,
so.
Now we have earbuds, I mean, yeah. Earplugs, so you can take some of those, old man.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty loud.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's why you don't hear anything I say.
Nowadays, I prefer a little softer tones to my tunes.
Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper, yeah.
Yeah. Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson, surprisingly good.
I listened to mm-hmm. some Willie Nelson after you had played one of his songs in the mm-hmm. car. And yeah, like, I felt really chill. I got no work done because I felt too chill.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Not great for work time.
We've given our ratings. We've told you about the film. The next one we are going to be doing is Temple.
Oh, because I won!
2017, because Cake Bitch is the winner. Congratulations. Your movie,
this will
Temple,
never,
will be the next one.
This will never happen again.
Well, I'm going to try to make it a little bit more difficult from now on.
Well, I have not read because I don't know that
it's wrong. Oh, okay. So well, good.
You might be ahead of the curve there.
Cool. So we're going to close this out. Are there any goodbyes, any last words that you would like to throw out there?
Just a reminder to go Google Black Peter.
Okay.
And also a reminder to not wear blackface ever.
Okay.
Never.
Never.
It's never appropriate.
Never okay.
Never okay.
Mm-hmm. But you can watch Spike Lee's movie Bamboozled if you want to see some of the effects of blackface and how it can really piss people off.
I mean, you should already know.
Yeah, but Bamboozled you can watch if you don't know.
Is that a horror?
No.
No?
Okay. Nope, it's not horror.
I think it was Spike Lee mm-hmm. with that Blood Cult movie that I said I started.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't get into it.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Bamboozled's actually a really good movie.
Okay.
But it's not horror. So we would like to say, we'd like to thank some people. We'd like to thank our resident zombie expert, Miss Ida U. Brains, our holistic tea and natural bath bomb partnership with Bathory's Virgin Exports, our local midnight delivery pizza joint, Papa Mogwai's, our in-house captain of demonic forces from the netherworld, who always gives us a definitive yes or no, and is never too busy to say howdy. Lastly, I'd like to recognize our partnership with the class of Nukem High, because two heads are always better than one.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out! What is that?
Excuse me now!
What is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?